said Wallace from everywhere. Okay. I'll take it. Anyway, can we have a moment of silence for the addict perhaps to never make it here to the room, for the addicts within this room with the inability to change, followed by the serenity prayer for those who might want to join in. God,
grant the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Again, my name is Wallace. I'm an addict.
Hey, Wallace.
I'm truly glad to see everybody. I see Summer, everybody. And I lived in Michigan since I've been here, Ohio, New York, now Maryland, from everywhere. Okay, but the bottom line is this: I know when we come to a forum like this, it's to have a little fun. But I know it's somebody here that's holding on for their dear life. I got to always keep that focus. And my topic is aging and recovery. And I'm born and raised in Detroit, of course. And
Detroit.
My parents was entrepreneurs there, and that's all right. And it was a pretty different life. We lived in the inner city. I was born on Mac, lived on Mac, and left Mac on the east side there. But anyway, my dad was a farmer. We was in the middle of the city. My dad was a farmer. Even though my mom, jet setter, going everywhere, doing her thing, Vegas, wherever else it would be. But anyways, he was on the opposite end of her. But anyway, it was five of us. And we had to make homebrew for the ones who like beer in the basement. We had to make wine. It would ferment in the house, so I didn't want to really bring my friends over to smell that wine, because fermenting wine got a real bad smell to it. And things like that. My dad was a farmer. Even to grow our grass, he would get horse manure, throw it in the front yard. Who wants to smell that? But he was doing the things that he was taught to do, coming from the South, in order for his five children and his wife to make it. But mind you, after growing up, I got kicked out the third grade. But anyways, I got that on out the way. But anyways, after getting kicked out the third grade, she saw fit for me to go to private school. My little sister had to go with me. And this was during the 60s. It was a time being in Detroit during the 60s. A lot of stuff that was going on. We was trying to find our own through music. Motown was there in Detroit. Chrysler Ford and General Motors. We sit on the porch, me and my sister, and we play, "That's my car? No, that's my car." Cadillac go down. Back then they had Tornados. That's a experimental car for El Dorado. And they had the 98s. All this. Sitting in Detroit, you see all of that. So anyways, going to school, though, it was something about it. Going to school there and end up going to private school, it was something about that, because we went down there, but the nuns was acting east side black, but they was Caucasians. So it was something about that being there, you know. So we get chance, we do the temptation walk when they put the music on. The nuns got their habits, they not up. They were nice looking women too. And and they would dance with us, ask us to show them how to do the temptations walk, all this good stuff. So it was like being, it's like being in the nucleus of the inner city, but it was cool. Because when I got there to the school, they had habits on. They didn't check you. They had the habits on. I remember my mother took me in there, and the nun, never forget her. She said, "Oh, we'll take care of him." Damn, they got this shit on. They see their eyes, and they, oh, shit. The habits, all that stuff was different, you know. But as time went by, in the late 60s, the habits and the uniform would change. And so, anyway, they was kind of cool. But anyway, what I remember about being in Detroit, my brother, which was my oldest brother, he would buy all the records. He was working at a record shop, and we ended up owning a record shop. But he was working at a record shop. We had a bar, fish market, record shop, and my dad had 11 rental properties and a farm back in 1975. So it was a lot going on. But my dad, for some reason, by him being a common farmer and who he was, he never did lift us up over nobody else in the community. Matter of fact, he was taking the kids out to do a little farming with him, and he was teaching them how to become. He was teaching them how to become operator, heavy equipment operators on the farm. Because on the farm is yours. You can teach the kids whatever. Right today at his funeral, a lot of them say that they got their heavy equipment operators, truck drivers, and all that stuff there. But anyway, I was telling about leaving a legacy back in the community, my mother and father. And my brother being who he was and being who my mom was always telling us to dress nice, this, that, and the other, whatever. And my brother, I was thinking he was taking it to the extreme because he was washing cars, doing this. And when he come in, my mom would say, ain't he sharp? I'm like, damn. But the thing I was trying to say is I thought she was focusing more on him because he was becoming what she wanted us to become. And I was the guy going the other way. With all that entrepreneurship, I volunteered to be a bum. It was easier. I ain't going to be in competition with my brother. Damn what my mama's saying. And I can go down there and hang out with Lala, Lugnut, Hacksaw, and Spoon Nails. Y'all laughing. And I can go hang in the neighborhood house. It was something about the neighborhood house. They mama didn't care if we drug a transmission through the front room. Be cussing. They drunk. And guess what happened? The neighborhood house would have a lot of children, but this used to fascinate me. They had them institutional pots, and all of their kids are bringing some more children. We in there. It looked like they didn't run out of food. That shit was fascinating. You want something to eat? Now, she got all her kids, plus all of the kids' friends, and it looked like it fascinated me that the neighborhood house mother didn't run out of food. And what I got from that is, even though they didn't have much, but what I felt for one of the first times in my life with that experience was love. I felt some love because she had food for her 12 and whatever amount of friends they had with them. And I felt love for the first time, and I got real comfortable spending the night. I got used to sleeping on couches real good, but I ain't going down there. I don't know if any of y'all know what it's like having your people in business. You can't watch TV, none of that. I would go play basketball. I love basketball. I play baseball, but in sporadic, because you had to work at the businesses. And they was on a mission, because coming from the deep south without nothing, those was drivers. Their minds was focusing on whatever they came from. They didn't want to be reminded of it. So didn't watch television. I was ashamed when I went to school because the kids was talking about the actors and actresses. I didn't quite know their name. That's when I started feeling shame. And shame is a real bad feeling. It's a bad feeling. It will paralyze you. You wouldn't do nothing. And you often hear people talk about fear. Try shame. I put them, they sisters and brothers to me. But the bottom line is to come up like that. Anyways, early on, my brother had gave me some pills. He said, because I saw him in the bathroom, and I heard, you know, I asked him, and he said, it's orange sunshine, yellow sunshine, Christmas tree, strawberry, speck of Dex, red devil, purple A's, Michael Dots, window paint, whatever. He went on. He told me to go to school. He said, okay, I'm going to see that you know how to sell them. He said, go to school to sell them. I went there. We all dropped them. I ain't sold nothing. He didn't fool with me no more. That was it. That's the end of my little selling deal. That's it. And I was in high school, and that was it. But the bottom line is my brother went on to become whatever he became and whatever. And I was the last one kind of lagging in the family. I was the last one because I had got used to becoming nothing. It had become a condition. I wasn't raised that way. I had got used to hanging out. And I had got used to saying, these are my friends. I got used to saying, I'm going to hang with them. I got used to going up on the corner and go up there. I'm getting a little older now. And I left home because what I do, I live with somebody else. And I get mad if their kids go in the refrigerator. Because after two days, that's my woman. You know, that's my woman. I'm talking about I was young, I was dumb, and shacking with somebody, you start claiming stuff. And you start, being territorial. Ain't even my bed, ain't my refrigerator, ain't my TV, I'm shacking. But you know what, it was one thing about me though, it seemed like I got put out in January. It looked like June It looked like June, we was all right. We going to the park. We going to our little dance. It looked like stuff. It looked like I act a fool in January. And I had the same Samsonite, that black plastic bag. Because when you're in the streets, you don't think about buying luggage. That ain't even on, you ain't even living like that. You know, you ain't even think about buying luggage when you're in the street. And I would have my little bag standing at the bus stop. But you know what would hit me? Mama told me. She said, boy, if you don't learn from me, you're going to learn from somebody else. She said that. And I can remember my grandmother. I never forget my grandmother. I would run over to my grandmother's house when I'm telling on my mama. And my, that's okay. And then so my grandmother would actually like rescue me. But anyways, to make a long story short, coming out of them streets, I don't know what it's like, but anyways, I was on the north end. I had a pint of Wild Irish Rose in my back pocket. We talking about going on up now. I'm talking about when I ran into this drug, but one was too many, more wasn't enough. Mind you, while I was being out there, I didn't notice I was getting older. And my topic is aging in recovery. So I'm getting older out there. And then when I hit my bottom, thank God, I nipped the last end of my 20s. I thought, oh man, I said, I ain't going to mess up my 30s and nothing else. I ain't going to mess that up, because I don't know if you know what it's like being on the north end. I was on the north end and this guy was hitting. I didn't shoot dope, but I'll show you how I had degraded myself. I was up there because they had became my friends. Mm-hmm. And this guy would hit them. This guy they call Brick, he would hit them. You know, when nobody else can hit him. This boy that was there, he came up that day. I never will forget this to my day. He tried to hit him. The boy had ran out of veins. He had to shoot him in his hemorrhoids. I knew then I had went low. I knew that, and then that was the end of it. I knew it wasn't the way that I came up. And I knew that something was going on. But this is what I had on my mind. I didn't have nowhere to go that night. I was wandering. Because I don't know if you know what it's like living in a dope house from Monday to Monday. Living off of Little Debbie's potato chips. In the meantime, I'm getting older each year. I'm having a birthday. In the meantime, I'm getting older. Then I get here. And the bottom line is, this is a place. I don't care what age you come here. I don't care what condition you come to here. This is a place. It says in our basic text in the 11th step. The things that begin to happen to us can't adequately be explained. Girls were getting their hair done because they wore head rags and things of that nature. They're now getting their hair done. Once they hadn't seen their children, children had left them and went on to the system, end up getting the children back. Going back, couldn't read, and they end up getting their GEDs. Things like that begin to happen. And I was sitting around this, so it was a chance for me to actually get my life back. But there in Detroit, it wasn't but a few meetings in the metropolitan Detroit area. And we had some, we was fortunate there in Detroit. We had a guy, William R. When I came in, he had like 6 years or something. We had another guy like Mike J. They got here when they were young. So we had a good grasp on probably we had a potential chance of getting this. We had a potential chance of getting this because they was helping us. Now let me tell you a little bit about Detroit. Flat out, this was going on in the 80s. I was sitting there. The name of this game is honesty, open-minded willingness. Soon as you open your mouth in Detroit, and it ain't honest, they get to yawning, they get to looking the other way, and somebody stop you. And no, I'm telling you, Detroit, let me tell you something. Detroit, we was in the inner city, we had a lot, we had to, used to go out like on 9 Mile and stuff like that from the inner city to the dances. And what happened from that is, and I know he's getting a little older, things like that. I was playing basketball in a league and good things like that. And things begin to happen. Things begin to turn, begin to get your little wardrobe together. But in my 7th year, I went jobless, homeless, and penniless. But I was getting older. That wasn't no age appropriate behavior. So I got in touch with that unmanageability. And let me tell you something. My daughter, she was born, her mama helped me. She said, you can't stay here no more. I said, but I'm working. She said, I don't care. You can't stay here. And let me tell you something about a woman. A woman will push your ass to where you should be. Not a thing about me. I didn't start respecting and appreciating that till I got to recovery. Because I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for a woman, starting with my mama. And I know that now. But I didn't know that. The disrespect and all the things I had in my head, the terms in the street that we used to use towards women, all that. It was, let me tell you something. I had came from a meeting, and I was talking at the meeting or whatever, and this guy said, "Hey, you have a birth certificate?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Will you bring it to the next meeting?" I said, "Yeah." I didn't have a birth certificate. I had to go to the state hospital to get my birth certificate because I wasn't going to make, you know, I wasn't going to let him stay on me because they, in Detroit, they prowl on your ass. They, it's like they, you better not say nothing out your mouth. They're going to grind till you get there. I see Charlie back there, but he can remember, you know, when I was home in Penniless, and it was like a, I looked like I was in slow motion getting mine. But I found out something. This is a physical, mental and spiritual disease. You don't know when God gonna touch somebody. And that's when I found out ain't nobody in front of nobody. You get yours Monday, get his Tuesday, he get his Wednesday. So then that kind of helped me with that situation. Because Charlie said, "Wally, you can't keep asking them for $5 or $2. When you gonna get a job?" I got me a job at the juice company because they not gonna talk about me no more. So a lot of things was motivated from a lot of other people that was in the recovery process. If you notice your recovery process, it dominoed off of people. Everybody, and golly, this really embarrassed me. I got to the program, I'm still trying to back clothes like when I was 15. Again, underwear ain't fitting right. The mind ain't caught up to, you know, all that stuff trying to, and then I used the people in the program to show me how to buy underwears, how to buy clothes to fit you. No, that's the wrong size. And oh man, this has helped me down. Because I don't know, once you hit bottom out there, but I was in the alley when my ex-high school teacher found me. I was in the alley. And let me tell you something. I had laid in that alley that night, and I knew it. I had a pint of Wild Irish Rose in my pocket, and I asked God to let me go down through that alley so I wouldn't be an embarrassment to my family. And I thought if I go through that alley, I wouldn't bother nobody no more. And that was my wish. And when my teacher came through and said, "Oh my God." And her little kids was little at that time. They took me up on their porch there in Detroit there on Holbrook. They took me up. She told me to go wash my face. And when I went to the mirror, I had rock prints in my face. That's how hard I was mashing down. I don't know if you ever felt like that where you just wanted to disappear. You didn't want, you know you went too far. You went down the line. All these times I'm aging. I'm going to get over here to recovery with this age thing. A lot of it wasn't age-appropriate behavior I had. So they was teaching me how to work. And all those things, and bless his soul, another guy there, Rick Kay, I cooked dinner for him that night. And this other guy, Gary, see, he dead now. He said, "Gary, come over here and take Wally to culinary school now." Gary came over, picked me up. I said, "Gary, I got to do an entrance exam. Can you take the test for me?" He said, "Hell no." I don't know if you know what it's like going back to school after you think you're grown. And you done left school a long time ago. Then you got to go there. The fear. All anxiety. The student's going to be younger. And all that good stuff. So anyways, I end up graduating with a baccalaureate degree in culinary arts. And besides all of that too, a lot of people didn't know much. Because let me tell you how I got to Ohio. I had got out of school. And Bruce, it was a guy named Bruce that lived there in Cincinnati. Now, I sent out my little, matter of fact, that word, I thought the word was resume. But when Beverly started helping me with this paper, she said, "This is a resume." I said, "I always thought it said resume." Now, when you're not in that line of getting a career, you don't have to look at all that. When you hanging out in the streets and you done turn everything over to them streets, it didn't take much to think. You understand me? And she did my little resume and the little stuff that I had did, my little food shows, my little food show achievements and all like that. But that wasn't helping my self-esteem. Even though I had achieved a few things for y'all to get me to where I'm going, and they kept nudging me. Then I ended up in Cincinnati by another guy. He said, "Wally, what you doing?" I said, "I just got out of school." He said, what you going to do from there? I said, nothing. And he said, why don't you come to Cincinnati and live? Mind you, I ain't know nobody. I had seen people, but I had seen him because we was up in different little retreats they have here. Anyways, I went there. I got up 75. It dawned on me. Ronnie, you done left Detroit. You don't know nobody. So I pulled over Xavier University, and the guy that told me to come to Cincinnati told me to call this guy named Ralph. I ain't know him. I said, phone rang. He said, hello? I said, yeah, this is Wallace. I said, you Ralph? He said, yeah. I said, Bruce told me I could stay with you. That's exactly what I said. Because I had gave Detroit a year to hire me in the culinary field, right? So when I got there, I didn't know the guy drove up to a beautiful home. His children in there, his family in there. And that guy said, you can sleep on my couch. That same guy put a little money in my little pocket. That same guy got me to go on the meetings. Thank God. Let me tell you what going to meetings will do for you. When you go to meetings, the God in you will touch the God in somebody else. It's something about when I got to that town and they took care of me. You understand? It's something about that. So anyways, getting older. So anyways, being in Cincinnati, which I call my internship. Them guys was doing their thing, owning little businesses and going to work and stuff like that. But anyways, I ended up getting a job at Procter & Gamble. And what happened behind that, one of the guys was in the research laboratory. Right? So I asked him, you think I can get over in there? And he did. So anyways, while I was there, the time that I was there, I was learning how to impart flavors. Because I kept going back to the lab. You understand me? So then I was learning how to impart flavors, whatever, and all that lasted for whatever. Then I ended up getting another job there, whatever. But what happened is this, how I after being in Cincinnati, great town. The people loving, they caring, they just really. But anyways, I wanted them to meet my parents and them. And one of the guys sitting here now, he went back home to my house. I had about 10 years that time. Somewhere like that, 11, whatever. But anyway, they came to the house. My sister said, whoa! Y'all can come in. He came. I'm like, Amy, still ain't changed. So one of the guys sitting in here now, and as embarrassed as I was of that, the program had taught me something. It says in our book, some of our families would never accept us. So that helped me to sustain. And what she said, all four of them, because when I move to a town, I want people to know where I came from. And she said, y'all with him? She said, oh, no. Y'all can come in. He can't. I said, she out of her mind. By that time, my mother had came up there. Anyway, the guys sat there. But anyways, make a long story short, them same guys, when my mama died, was sitting there. When my dad died, was sitting there. When my older sister died, was sitting there. When my middle sister died, was sitting there. When my baby sister died, was sitting there. Y'all told me no matter what, don't use. Let me tell you something about aging up in here. It's a lot of things coming. It's elimination while you're here getting aging too. Then you'll find out a real big surprise party when you go to the doctor. And that doctor gets to saying things that you ain't never heard. Now you got to learn doctor language. I had got to a point one time. Let me tell you something. I had got to a point in my recovery. Mind you, I done left Detroit. Now I'm out of Ohio. I'm in New York. I had got to a point at one time where I had to schedule my vacations and going out of town around my medicine. And my doctor's appointments. You looking at the calendar, 10 doctors. Damn. Because nowadays they go specialists. It ain't that one all doctors. Oh, this, that. Oh, you got to go over to that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. I can't go out of town. So anyways, I knew I was getting older. But in my mind, I don't want to get older. Not get older. No, I ain't. But I was taking my little medicine, wondering when is the last doctor's appointment. I was getting older, see? Things begin to happen. Things begin to shift. But while I was in New York, I was fainting. I had what they call syncope. Go to the store, I was fainting at will. I started fainting. In the barbershop, I'm fainting. And so then the last time I fainted, I ended up there at Montefiore Hospital, and the doctor tapped me and said, you all right? I said, yeah. And he said, your brain saved your life. It knew it was getting ready to shut down. It's like having a stroke. The oxygen get cut off. So instead of going through whatever it had to go through, it told on itself by you fainting. So I had syncope. My neck started sticking. Mind you, I'm still working because I was on the train working, of course. And I'm doing my little thing, and I'm working and going. My neck started sticking. That time when the manager said, well, what's wrong? I said, my neck's sticking. Now, I knew I was falling out, right? Okay. So then, make a long story short, when I got to the when I got there and they put me in that CAT scan, and I came out, and he said, oh, you go in that room over there. Okay. And the doctor came in. He said, you got a brain tumor. The neurosurgeon came in. He said, you got folks here? I said, no. Can you get somebody here? We'll give you, with the tumor you got, maybe 9 months to a year. Now, I was sitting there smiling. I'm smiling. Let me tell you why I was smiling. If I had died that second, everything that y'all gave me was better than what I came in here with. And I knew that. And in between, and all this time that everything is coming, I tried all kind of stuff here. Marriage. I did my inventory. I was never in a relationship. I found out in my 4-step inventory, I was in attachments. I was in attachments. And that came out of that 4-step. So anyways, to make a long story short, I ain't got time. Anyways, I end up, one of my managers say, Wally, you ain't going to be able to. So anyways, the doctors on the government side, told me I couldn't work no more or whatever. So I end up, I had never heard of Silver Spring, Maryland. I end up there in Silver Spring, Maryland. But what happened, though, while I was in New York, I had fell out of the tub, and I was on the floor about an hour. And I had to get one of the medic alerts or whatever. But when I got here, I wasn't thinking. I know I'm getting older and having a birthday every year, but I'm also having a birthday with this condition. And they melted the tumor with a pill in New York, advanced medicine. So they melted it. It took 2 years. They melted it with a pill. So anyways, here, my daughter had called me the other week. She said, Dad, you still living there? I said, yeah, I'm in Silver. She said, Dad, you're going to have to come home and live with me. Mind you, when they told me pre-diabetic, all that other stuff, I started jogging 1.5 miles, 2 times a week. I came there and I lived there. When I moved there, I went 270, went down to 240. Yeah. Let me tell you something. When your back get up against the wall, you will act right. Don't even worry about it. So the bottom line, I start hearing y'all at its best moment. But let me tell you this. Don't worry about people and what they say. You stay on your course. If you knew, let me tell you something. It said in our book, God thrust us in here. Yes, nobody fill out an application. You belong here. You find where you fit at over in here. And let me tell you something. You'll hear people chatter as your recovery gets. And blah, blah, blah. They'll say whatever they need to say about you. When God, let me tell you something. When people play you down, God will pray you up. Out of all the things that was going on in my life and all the things that would happen to me, that was my supervisor when I was working. She said, go ahead, Wally. But anyway, I ain't had no idea she'd be over here with me, but I'm glad she is. But anyways, I'm glad for all of the cities. You guys have let me see parts of the world. I sat in meetings in Matterhorn, Switzerland, Cologne, Germany, Florence, Italy, and just many places and all the things. I know it happened from y'all. I give myself no credit. I don't care what done happened in here. Even my daughter came from y'all. To my daughter, y'all, the uncles, aunties, all y'all. She's grateful. Guess why? Because her father was a father, and he lived the day in dignity. Now, let me tell you this. I'm going to close it out with this. Out of everything I got in my life, I pray for perfect health every morning. Health is wealth. Don't let anybody fool you. And the older you get here, don't panic. They diagnose you with something. I learned this early on. My sponsor had HIV, colostomy bag, kidney, all that. You know what he told me? Years ago, he said, wow, whatever condition that you ever get with from the doctor, he said, you ain't got to worry about it now, you're young. He said, make your meetings and the rooms will heal you. And I never forgot that, and I never left the meeting. The pill was fine from the doctor, but what my neurosurgeon came in and said, he said, all I can say is you're a miracle. And he walked back out. But I know being here, I'm not a miracle. I'm a result of a miracle. And I like to thank everybody for sitting here. I like all of my recovery. Let me tell you something. 30 years later, sometime I act like I'm 10 years old. Okay. That's all right. That's all right. Because it says this. No matter what we go through in life in here, the joy is in the journey, not the damn event. Thank you. Right.